So I will give you a little understanding in which context this text is spoken, so that we can appreciate it better. We are reading in the Matiya Lila, chapter 7, which describes the Lord's tour of South India. It's a description of Mahaprabhu's preaching tour, so to say. And his mode of preaching has been very nicely described. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is very interesting, embraced people, and simply by his embracing them, he gave them love of Godhead. It's a very interesting form of initiation, which the Supreme Personality of Godhead obviously can do only. So during his preaching tour, he came into different villages where, out of tradition, Brahmanas used to invite him to take his meals at their home. And he was invited by one priest of Lord Koma, who is referred in the text as the Kurma Brahmana. He was a priest in an ancient temple and worshipped the Lord in his tortoise incarnation, and he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he chanted the holy name of Krishna before the deity, and he was totally impressed by Mahaprabhu and said, "Please come to my home and eat your meals at my home." Grihasthas can become blissful in Krishna consciousness by inviting exalted guests, great personalities, engaging in some Krishna katha with them, and serve them prasadam, and the sannyasis will become so obliged, so very thankful to them, that they will bless the grihasthas. And we will now hear of the blessings which Mahaprabhu gave to this grihastha. The grihastha was overcome in the presence of Lord Chaitanya with great feelings of renunciation. He said, "My dear Lord, please allow me to go with you." Sometimes in grihastha ashram, and also in everywhere actually, we are overcome with a great sense of renunciation. We want to really do some steps in our spiritual life, and this Brahmana thought the best would be if he can accompany Lord Chaitanya on his travels through South India. It is interesting to note what Lord Chaitanya answers him. "Don't speak like that again." Hare Krishna. "Better to remain at home and chant the holy name of Krishna always." And Srila Prabhupada comments, "It is not advisable in this age of Kali to leave one's family suddenly, for people are not trained as proper brahmacharis and grihasthas. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised the brahmana not to be too eager to give up his family life. It would be better to remain with his family and try to become purified by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra regularly under the direction of a spiritual master. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If this principle is followed by everyone, there is no need to accept sannyas." Genau, das brauchen wir nicht. In the next verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises everyone to become an ideal householder by offenselessly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and teaching the same principle to everyone he meets. It's very important that we understand here Lord Chaitanya's perspective on preaching, and also Srila Prabhupada's vision. Many times our devotees feel that they need to be properly situated, and it is a fact. We may have placed too much emphasis in the past on leaving everything behind, although the devotees were not purified from material desires. And later they came, because they were not properly purified, into a situation which was difficult for them. Better, therefore, to stay where one is, this is what we learn, and learn to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offenses, because that will bring one to the platform where one is more purified of so many different anattas. And in this way, then one can either stay at home, it doesn't make a difference, because it, or one can become whatever one would like to do, that is very individual. And now let us go back to the text in the original Bengali and hear what Lord Chaitanya's instructions are specifically to the devotees, which he wants to encourage to become purified at their homely situation. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. This is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells to the Koma Brahmana. You should chant offenselessly. I mean, that's a way to come to there. One needs to progress from Nam Aparad to Nam Abbas and Shudanam. That is a subject I cannot explain now due to a shortage of time. And do something. Don't just stay, keep it all for yourself. Be kind and merciful to others. In our congregational preaching, we have seen how grihasthas who were properly situated have influenced people or benefited people in their environment. They have given a good example of being quite satisfied in their lives, and then due to their spiritual effulgence which they manifest due to chanting, and then they have preached the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Take this book. We have a good example in I do not wish to say names, because this is very sometimes it can create envious feelings and so on in immature devotees, and I don't want to be a cause of this. So, but there are very good examples everywhere of devotees who have done so, situated themselves properly, and done something to improve their Krishna consciousness by trying to chant offenselessly, and then given Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam to others. Let us hear how Prabhupada comments this. You will be ecstatic or maybe even amazed to hear how he comments this. This, he says, is the sublime mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Many people come and inquire whether they have to give up family life to join the society, but that is not our mission. One can remain comfortably in his residence. We simply request everyone to chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one is a little literate, that means if one has a little appreciation of literature, if one is a little literate and can read Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam, that is so much the better. And then Prabhupada says, one additional point, one needs to follow four rules and regulations in one's life, so that the purification can take place in the Grihastha Ashram. So let me say, let me continue. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further advised the Brahmana Kurma, if you follow this instruction, your materialistic life at home will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. Indeed, if you follow these regulative principles, we will again meet here, or rather, you will never lose my company. Here Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about the ongoing vitality of spiritual life, that if someone is humble enough in this age of Kali to follow the spiritual process which has been handed down by the Lord and his representatives, he can count on this, that he will actually come to realize the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He will feel that the Lord is present in my life. Hare Krishna. This is very good. I personally became extremely inspired when reading a Tika means commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where he says that the living entity is like a golden dome. And I was remembering when we were traveling in the Steiermark, that south of Austria, and there was the autumn and the air was full of Hermann Hesse and his literature. You know, it was an atmosphere like this. And then the sun started to set, and in the far distant, one golden dome blinked almost. It reflected the light of the autumn sun, and it was coloring the leaves of the tree and the field with a golden hue. It almost looked like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's effulgence. And when I read this verse, my memory became full of my happy innocent days as a simple preacher in the Steiermark. And I remembered how nicely this atmosphere was. This is also the case when a devotee is ready to purify his existence, then the Lord who is there in the heart will be reflected on the dome of his purified consciousness, and he will have the feeling, my Lord is with me, Hare Krishna. He will have this feeling, and it is very wonderful. This is a blessing to such a devotee. And this blessing, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, or the International Attempt for Becoming Krishna Consciousness, is, you know, to say something timely or humorously, this is the blessing, this is intended, that we begin to reflect again from our purified hearts the presence of the Lord for the benefit of others. So Lord Chaitanya did not say this in an isolated case. He said, the next verse tells us, at whosoever house Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted his alms by taking prasad, he would convert the dwellers, that means the people who lived in this house, to his Sankirtan movement and advise them just as he advised the Brahmana named Kurma. Now then, some more descriptions are given about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic tour. And it's described how he made the whole of southern India Krishna conscious by spreading this principle. Sometimes devotees want to know, how can I become Krishna conscious? And this is Mahaprabhu's instructions, which the Lord was personally giving to them. Now, the Koma Brahmana didn't understand him at the very beginning. He Then Lord Chaitanya left his village. The Koma Brahmana felt so attached to Lord Chaitanya that he couldn't stay at home. I think we can sympathize with this. Imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead would appear and you would recognize him as such. And he would then go, you would say, nämlich mit auf die Reise, nicht? Take me with you, please. But it's very interesting that Lord Chaitanya, in order to really preach this principle, did not compromise. He did not say, all right, we come along, you know. It's described. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knew it would not work. He would become restless, this Koma Brahmana, because it's not his present situation in life. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, the Brahmana Koma followed him a great distance. But eventually Lord Chaitanya took care to send him back home. You must go home now. There are many descriptions in descriptions in Chaitanya Charitamrita where the Lord sends his devotees home. I remember one which may be very interesting for some of you. It was about Govinda Ghosh. Govinda Ghosh was for some time the personal assistant of Mahaprabhu, and one time Mahaprabhu, after eating, felt the need to add a little digestive, also ein Verdauungsmittel, to his thing. Some devotees here take the medicine Supashak. It is quite effective for this purpose. Mahaprabhu, there was no Supashak available, and then Mahaprabhu asked for the Haritaki fruit. If you eat it, the fire of digestion starts. And Mahaprabhu came, asked, can you please bring it? And Govinda immediately started to search for Haritaki fruits, but it was not so easily available. Maybe it was not the season, I do not know. And so after some time only he came and brought the fruits, and Mahaprabhu took them. Next day, Mahaprabhu traveled on. Next day, Mahaprabhu said, Govinda, I have the same situation. Can you please bring some Haritaki fruits? And Govinda beamed with pleasure. Yes, my lord, here you go. I mean, he would not say like that, but here are the fruits. And he was so happy to be able to immediately supply the desired thing. So Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. But after some time, when he was alone, he called for Govinda and said, Govinda, you must marry. What? Yes, and you must stay at a place and have a family. So, you are sending me away from your personal service? Govinda, see, you are not a brahmachari. You are a grihastha. Mahaprabhu said with great care and love for his devotee, my lord, I feel I want to travel only with you as your brahmachari assistant. No, see, Govinda, let me explain. Last time, when you, now you will choke your, in Schweizerdeutsch sagt man, ihr werdet trocken schlucken gleich, was jetzt kommt. Mahaprabhu said, my dear Govinda, yesterday I asked you for a Haritaki, because he knew he had to explain it. I asked you for a Haritaki food, and you went and took one. And today you brought it very quick. How did you bring it so quick? Govinda said, well, I knew it might come again, this situation, so I took many more Haritaki fruits than just the one which you requested for. And I stored them for the eventuality, also für die eventuelle wieder auftretende Notwendigkeit. Yes, said A brahmachari, said Mahaprabhu, a brahmachari does not store, Govinda. It's not in the mentality of a brahmachari. He is totally dependent on the Lord, like a little child. But you have stored. It means you have the mentality for security in this world. You are not properly situated. Now, when devotees hear this, who are in the process of increasing their Shraddha, and have not yet reached a high level of Shraddha, but who are working sincerely on this, they get a doubt. Their doubt is, oh, this is very rash. This is very unvernünftig and illogical. Storage must be done. It's an interesting principle. Please, my dear devotees, if you meet some devotees who react like this, please tell them that, my dear devotees, do not think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows this, the considerations. He is certainly the all-knowing super soul and doesn't need to be educated in common sense. He wanted to make a point to situate his devotee properly. He must have seen that in Govinda Ghosh's case, he was not fully satisfied in his Grihastha ashram. He gave this reason, but this must have been only an indication of some underlying mentality which was better for him. And it is a fact. Govinda Ghosh became such a Grihastha, you cannot imagine. Govinda Ghosh had not an easy Grihastha life. He married, he was happy for a while, but then his wife died before he could have a son. And he was very disturbed. He went to his deity and said, "My dear deity," I do not remember the deity's name. Does anyone of you remember? Was it Gopinath, maybe? Just now, when it's interesting, when I was thinking I would ask you, I felt the competition spirit to know it before you. And from the subconscious area came the name Gopinath, but maybe it is not correct. I think it was Gopinath. He was very, very, very depressed when his beloved wife left him too early. It was not the time to die, really. And he went to the deity and complained. He said, "Why have you taken my wife away?" And the deity was silent. Then Govinda Ghosh became so sad that he started to protest. In India, when you protest, you go in your room and you close the room and you fast. This is the way one protests in India. Very often we find this in the literature. When someone has a problem with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they go in a room and fast. So this was happening. Govinda was lying there. He was not bathing. He was just totally neben der Kante. Totally beyond. So after some time, he heard the voice of Gopinath. "Govinda, Govinda, Govinda." He went in the temple. "What do you want?" "I'm hungry. I'm your son. And you do not feed me. You're angry with me. But I'm so hungry. Please give me something to eat." Govinda, when the Lord says to you, "I'm hungry, I'm your son, feed me," then you can't protest any longer. It's not possible. So he cried and said, "You say you're my son? You say you love me? Why did you take my wife away?" "All right," he said. If you say you are my son, will you perform my Shraddha ceremony? Do not know if you know what this means. Shraddha ceremony is when the father die, when you die, say, who is a grihastha, who has a son? Yeah. At this moment, we do not have a grihastha who has a son. Right? In the audience. Yes, we have. Shashika has a wonderful son. Shraddha ceremony is also done for mother? Not really. Say Abhijit, Shashika's very wonderful husband, he would die. Then the boy, who's now only 5 years, when he reaches a certain age, when he reaches a certain age, he will go to perform a ceremony by which he will bless Abhijit ji, and Abhijit would receive by this ceremony, in a very, very esoteric way, if we want to say, use this word, Vishnu Prashadam. He would be somewhere, and because of the ceremony of his son, he would receive Vishnu Prashadam and would become purified, Haribol, wherever he is at that moment. So Vasudev Ghosh said, if you are my son, will you perform this obligatory, the verpflichtende ceremony? And Mahaprabhu and the deity was silent for a moment, because it meant he had to give, he had to move, he had to dress in a special way and do the rituals and so on. And then he said, yes. Promise? Yes. I must do, said Gopinath. So then Govinda Ghosh was in ecstasy. He went in the kitchen, cooked a huge meal and gave it to Gopinath. Gopinath took it with great affection. He accepted this. And up till this day, you will be pleased to hear, Gopinath has not missed 1 year. He is every year performing this Shraddha ceremony out of love and affection for his wonderful devotee. And this is a Gopinath's promise. He has promised he does yearly the Shraddha ceremony, no matter what. The way it is done in puja is that the pujaris sing a song, and then they take the deities out, and then they have a yagya, and then they give a spoon into the hand of the deity, and the deity in this way performs the Shraddha ceremony. After many hundreds of years, this is still going on. More than necessary, is more than necessary. But Krishna is a special son. He lives longer than other sons. He lives eternal. So he does it every year. Haribol. So my point here is, you can see in Mahaprabhu sending his devotees into the proper ashrams and insisting that those who are in their ashrams, they stay there and become purified at home by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses and avoiding the pillars of irreligion, and in this way make advancement and so on. Now, the Chaitanya Leela is very nectarian. I wanted to talk about something totally different. We have not even come to the verse. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I have not given a conventional lecture this morning. It is a day after the battle, and the brain is not, the system is, any longer. So, yes, now I do not want to continue onwards because we have 8:30 and you all have heard so much. Now I want to see if you have any questions regarding this or any subject which fascinates you at this moment or engages your minds. Murali. Lonely, lonely, lonely. It was such a song, yes.
The kind they need a deep friend who can, you know, kind of like always be there.
Sannyasis must know the art of being lonely without feeling lonely. The first principle of sannyas life, which we find very often in our scriptures, is they must actually understand that there is Krishna as the super soul. This is a principle of abhaya, fearlessness. It comes several times in Prabhupada's literature that a sannyasi must understand, even when he goes through a lonely forest, that he is not alone, because there's a super soul. Krishna is in the heart. See, the sannyasis are not advised really to do deity worship, because it is understood that they carry the Lord in their heart. Even, it's very interesting to watch the tradition. It is said when Maharaj Rishabdev started to walk, he took the sacrificial to leave his household alive, you know, after everything was, you know, after he had given birth to children who had become kings, even one king. Yeah, he went and took sannyas, and it is said he took the sacrificial fire within. Do you remember this, reading this ever? Not just now. I have read it in the Kulachatri Mountains this year, and I was thinking, what does this mean to take the sacred fire within? Is this like Feuerschlucken or you know, what is it? And I did have an idea, but I asked an expert, our learned host and the gelehrter Gastgeber, and he said, what this means is that in household life, one was supposed to do yagyas, to be released from unconsciously performed sins, pancha yagyas, as far as I remember. One used to do this, one used to have the fire always burning. But the sannyasi is no longer doing this. Swaha, swaha. He travels and he does his process of worship within the heart. This is what it means. He takes the fire within, that is, he worships the Lord from within. So for this he must have like a conception of Krishna in the heart as a super soul or his own beloved form whom he worships. This is very important for a sannyasi. Otherwise he cannot be fearless. Otherwise it's right. If he takes sannyas life, then he feels lonely, 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 and might either come on the social platform and eat pizzas in the pizzerias and to need to have some buddies around him, some kumpels, or he may hanker very deeply for the association of a woman. This also has happened. So the problem is, he has not yet learned the art to be alone. It's a difficult but a beautiful art for a sannyasi, at least. It's a necessary art to understand, he is Krishna with me. I'm never alone. Even in a dark forest, it is described, the sannyasi is not alone. Do you know sannyasis in the old times? I mean, we are Pukkelmukkel sannyasis, one says, and means we are trying to imbibe this tradition. But in the old tradition, I was telling some devotees that we were in Udupi and went to a not a graveyard, a samadhi place where the sannyasis of the Madhva Sampradaya were. That means their ashes were there. And on some of these samadhis, there are two tigers like this. And what it means, when you find out, is that these sannyasis, when they were traveling through the dark forest, were attacked and killed by tigers. Heavy. All of you who want to find out a little bit about the tradition of traveling sannyasis through forests, please go into the jungle. It is. You really feel the pulse of the jungle, and you know, when you hear the roaring of a tiger, you go like, ah! We didn't hear the roaring of a tiger. I would have loved to hear the roaring of a tiger one time in my life, but only 10 meters away from the jeep, if possible. But the sannyasis were so fearless that they were traveling, knowing I would be together with Krishna. There was no question of being alone for them. So we are trying to learn to not be alone. Because we talk in the family, when I took sannyas, it was when the initiation was performed, and when I got my danda and my cloth from Prabhupada, that was all placed at Prabhupada because it was understood he was my sannyas guru, and so somehow. And I'm very happy that this was the understanding. Then I felt when the mantras were chanted and the swahas were done and everything, I really felt. Of course, I have a little bit too much of a fantasy. I admit this, but I heard in my inner mind a door slamming. The door is closed, and I felt very lonely for a moment, and then I knew, okay, this is it. Now I must really try to become a devotee of Krishna, otherwise it is not possible. Who wants to be lonely? Everyone goes like, lonely, not me. But a sannyasi, even there are times when he wants to be alone, to cultivate his relationship with his friend. The Lord needs some time. I feel we have to allow our sannyasis to be alone, and so that we should encourage them. My dear sannyasi, vairagi bhai, O brother in renunciation, please, we give you the opportunity to be alone so that you can be with your friend. It's very important for you, so that you will be able to serve the community for a longer time and not have problems with your vows. We should help our son, Vairagi Bhais, our brothers in renunciation, like this. Especially also Mataji should respect the vows of the sannyasis. Although our sannyasis and our ISKCON have the obligation and to extend the mercy of the sampradaya to everyone, but female disciples should respect this, that, oh yes, this is their vows. In olden times they were not supposed to speak even with the woman, so on and so forth, but in these modern times, yes, they are for helping and doing this, should be respected, and everyone should respect them. The sannyasis should, however, respect very much the grihastha ashram. This was not often done. I was a great offender in the past, because there, you know, even in the movement, in our movement, there was a time when the sannyasis really behaved incorrectly towards the grihasthas. So with common respect for each other, each ashram can prosper and blossom and become, the devotees can be successful in whatever ashrams they are situated. Thank you for your wonderful point, because it opened the door to talk on being alone. It is my firm conviction that each one of us should learn at times, not always, at times, to be alone and not be alone. This is my personal conviction. But it is only something personal and individual. It's just some tip. If you learn to just understand, well, I have only one relationship, that's to Krishna. I feel it's necessary, because otherwise how will you ever start to surrender to him, which is necessary to go back home, back to Godhead. You must feel, the Lord is with me. There are many quotations in Prabhupada's books which do not express it like this. They say more or less the devotee must have a realization of Krishna. And I'm thinking, this is my personal experience in my spiritual life, also as a brahmachari, sometimes you need to close the door and read and pray and be on, be together with Krishna. Hare Krishna. It creates problems, yes.
Yes, and you said that this energy has to be used, like we have to be very connected, and take care of others. Another thing is, does everybody who is initiated are really able to use in a proper way this energy?
Is everyone who is initiated able to transform the urge, this powerful urge, into by being creative or caring for others? The question is, the devotee says this question, this promises even for regulative principles seem to be for those who are for a monk life. I think that is the practical realization of our movement also. And therefore some discussions need to be done, although it is not, some discussion needs to be done to come to a more, an understanding how also devotees who can only follow three regulative principles and can make advancement in their spiritual lives without being at one hand looked down upon, but without also watering down the pure standard which is given. Some discussion needs to be done on this, and I personally feel it is harmful to the discussion if I enter it, because I have other realizations. This is not for sannyasis. Using this urge, this urge is very powerful, and if we just block it, it can create problems even for big yogis. This is what our history has shown, or ISKCON history, and also tradition, Vedic tradition. There are many yogis who were ruined in their vows. Yes, this is a fact, and you have to learn to be creative. I would say in creative, be spiritually active. This is also a form of creativity. And also be a caring person for others. And you're right, it is difficult for some, due to karmic reasons, maybe. You will be surprised when you enter the Grihastha ashram. you have to learn to be a caretaker. It's so such a heavy. I have talked with Grihasthas, what are your lessons? And they said, go into it. You really have to respect the rights of the other person, his individuality. You have to really care. And sometimes, yes, Grihasthas have problems because they are not able to give this, even as Grihasthas. It requires tremendous maturity to care for others. I want to now go out of this context because, as you feel, I'm feeling a little unwell to address this. To be caring for others is most properly the greatest austerity, and it is most properly in this Kali Yuga something which we need to do in order to have a successful movement. Caring for others means you have to at times and totally put your own personality away. You may feel so hurt by people that you could just jump under the ceiling and run away to Malagasca. But you have to stay, you have to listen to what they want to tell you, and you have to help them in the best way possible, with deep feelings of caring, not artificial, but it has to come from the heart. And that is necessary. It requires a deep spiritual maturity. It is difficult. You have said it correctly. I think it's very nice how honestly you have said your observations. Yes, it is very difficult. But if you do it, then you become very dear to Lord Krishna. Do you know that I shouldn't say it like this. I should say it. In the end of the Uddhava Gita, which is Krishna's words to his deity, instructions how Uddhava can see him always, he summarizes his whole teachings by saying, to see others with equal eyes, that means their souls, and to care for their upliftment, that is the highest process of worshipping me. You can really make a lot of advancement. Some less, not so philosophical people have said, well, manushya dharma is bhagavad dharma. You know, worshipping humans is, you may know the shloka, Shashika, how do you manushya dharma? There is a shloka, in serve the human, then you serve God, something. You see, he is a part of Krishna. It's not without God consciousness that you care for others. You cannot isolate a proper care. You cannot care just by misunderstanding a person's deepest spiritual needs. No. It requires a spiritual understanding to really care for another person, because the other person is a spiritual soul. Very simple. Predrag. Is the instruction to, this will be the last point, is the instruction which was given to the Grihasthas by Lord Chaitanya given to them because they are conditioned, or is it given to them because by this they can reach the highest perfection? It's not an either or. Every one of us can only reach the highest position if he starts where he is. This is very, very interesting. If you don't start where you are, you cannot reach the highest perfection. It is. You might now be totally amazed to hear this, and you might ask, now please tell us some shlokas where you get this from. There are two shlokas which I have in mind, which are quoted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which I have not learned by heart. These two shlokas say, to be steadfast in one's own position, that is religion. This is from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. It means you have to be in your position where you are, and that is religious principle. If you go into another thing, it is. If a grihastha, for instance, would go into the grihastha ashram, it would be irreligious. Do you know that Mother Sachi had this doubt, and she confronted Mahaprabhu? She said, "You are leaving the family. Do you know what you are doing? You are killing your mother. Is this dharma, to kill one's mother? Therefore stay at home, because you can't kill your mother." So this had to be solved, this question. Is it dharmic or is it not dharmic? I mean, Mother Sachi, yes, she said out of deep affection. And it was solved. The solution came actually a little later. The solution came when Mahaprabhu was in Shantipur, and Mahaprabhu saw his mother, how she was crying to see him. You know, the Mother Sachi took him on his lap and bathed him with her tears. She was so moved. We cannot understand the relationship of Mother Sachi and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu, he was moved by this. He said, "Oh, Mother, I was crazy. I took sannyas and caused pain to you. Please forgive me. What should I do now? You tell me." Now all the other devotees heard this. What? Mahaprabhu tells Mother Sachi what to do. So they went. They were motivated. They wanted, these were the devotees from Navadvip. Navadvip devotees want Lord Chaitanya, of course, to be there in Navadvip. It's clear. So they went immediately to, they took Mother Sachi. Doji, come, Mother Sachi. They set her down and said, "This is our chance. Don't spoil it. Tell him he should come back to Navadvip. He has said, I will do whatever you say, Mother." Then Mother Sachi was silent, and she thought. And she really thought about this question. She had earlier reproached Mahaprabhu, "You are taking sannyas. What are you doing? You're killing me. This is seven mothers, and so don't kill the seven mothers. I'm one. I am another." She's Mother Sachi. So then she thought. And the devotee said, "Why are you thinking? It's easy. Just tell him to come back. Come, sannyasi, come home." That's one of the hits of India when, 10 years ago, which we were studying in the Vaishnava Institute for Higher Education, and that in the tea stores there was always this hit going on. Said, "We are studying here. Let us study, and then you can play your record after this." So then Mother Sachi said, "No. I may suffer, but it is his dharma to take sannyas. He has appeared for this reason, to spread the yuga dharma. I will not make him spoil his dharma under no circumstances." And the devotees try to, "Oh, come on, he must come back to Navadvip. Don't be so philosophical now." Mother Sachi said, "No." And then a compromise was worked. A compromise, I shouldn't say compromise. Mother Sachi requested, "At least do not go so far away. Go to Jagannath Puri." That's 300 kilometers. And for us, it is 300 kilometers is nothing, but, you know, at that time, 300 kilometers, it meant 2 weeks or so walking. 2.5 weeks. don't go so far away. Only go 2.5 weeks walking away. So moving. Oh. Do you also like Mahaprabhu Katha? So nice. It is refreshing the heart, especially after a festival. Yeah. So we will end our discussion here. Thank you very, very much. This was a spontaneous lecture. I know what I will lecture on tomorrow. That's the ongoing Mahaprabhu Leela. We will hear about this verse. We do not need to write another verse on the blackboard. It is already written. One private thing is, those of you who are intending to see me and who have not yet seen me, please let us make an appointment for today, because from tomorrow onwards I will only be able to give the Bhagavatam class. I need to do some important preparations for the next presentation. It's a nectar. It's a presentation on the nectar of devotion, which I feel very deep for. I want to talk about, you know, my understandings, but not my. It's a, I want to give a little analysis of nectar of devotion, and I want to do it really good, and I need still some time to prepare my notes. And also, I have not looked at all your presents as of yet. No time. Every day it became late because I wanted to serve the Vaishnavas. And now today is still, we can talk. If you have not yet talked with me, but afterwards I need to, please give me the time to do my service, other services. Good.